We're going to continue on in the sermon that I started last week. This morning, I've entitled it, Get Set. So last week, we talked about On Your Mark, and this morning, it's Get Set. So often in our lives, when we go to start something, and I don't know if this happens to you, but Kyle and I can be sitting on the couch, and we'll be starting to talk about something that needs to happen, and, you know, kind of envisioning. And for her, it's like, you know, in a few days or a few weeks or a few years, and we'll be done the conversation, then I'll get up. And she's like, where are you going? Well, let's start. Let's start right now. Anybody else? Like, if you get a thought in your head, it's like, let's just get going and let's get this thing started. And that's sometimes what happens when we have or sense that God is speaking something into our hearts. We want to immediately come out of the gate and get going. So picture this for a moment. You have this dream that God has been speaking into your heart. And all of a sudden, you can hear the announcer saying, okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. And you make your way over. And then he'll say, get set. And you get down into that position. And you are ready. And you're just standing there. And you're waiting. It's on your mark. And while you're down there, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it's kind of like sometimes we in the movies where we'll see everything just flash before the person's eyes in a matter of a few moments. We're down there and we're in that position. Get set. And we start thinking about all of the training that we have just completed for this moment. For this moment. We look back and we remember, okay, when this happens, I got to remember to pace myself. When this happens, I got to remember this. And we're going through all of the things. And say you're a sports enthusiast and you've been working with a coach and you're ready to come out of the gate and you're in that position of get set and you start thinking about all of those things that you have to remember so that you don't come out of the gate too fast, losing all of your energy in the first 5 minutes. A few years ago, I used to have a couple of friends of mine, and we loved rollerblading. And for about 3 or 4 consecutive summers, what we would do is we would pick a city, and we would choose the city that we would go to and literally rollerblade all around the city just to kind of get that full experience that you don't get when you're sitting in a vehicle. And so I remember this one particular city. We had arrived in Seattle, and we got everything set up. And we're getting ready to go out. And if somebody had said to me that morning, okay, let's get ready, and the trail that we have marked out is about 40 kilometers, I probably would have thought, are you crazy? 40 kilometers by car is not so bad, but 40 kilometers by rollerblades? And we went out, and we started to pace ourselves. We made sure that we were hydrated, made sure that we would stop and take rest. And we continued on, and I remember it was about 4 hours before we even really fully stopped to even take off our blades to just give our feet a little bit of a break. And so we continued to rollerblade all around Seattle. I mean, there's a lot of hills, there's a lot of trails, it's a lot of different things. And we got back to our tent that night, and we kind of mapped out and looked to see exactly where it is that we had gone. And we had well exceeded going 40 kilometers that day. But the thing is that had somebody said to us at the very beginning of the day, we're going to go about 40 kilometers, I probably would have thought, are you nuts? Are you nuts? 40 kilometers, that's a long ways. But we persevered, knowing that we could do this, and we paced ourselves, and we did it. And how often is that how things are when God speaks something into our hearts? We hear what he's asking us to do, and it's like we just put up that hand, right? You know, a few years ago, people used to say, talk to the hand. Yeah, talk to the hand, because the face ain't home, leave a message at the tone, right? And you're just like, no, don't even go there with me. And sometimes that's how we are with God. We just simply say, God, no, that thing that you're asking me to do, that's just way too big. Can you just talk to the hand? Last week, I shared with you a little bit about test anxiety that I struggled with. And I remember when the time came for us to go to Bible college, it was a really big step of faith for us. Kyle and I, we were living in Fort McMurray. We both had really good jobs. We had a house. We had a family. And God said, okay, it's time to lay all of that down, and it's time to go to Bible college. What do you mean? What's time to go? And in my head, it's like, this just doesn't even make sense. because I had been raised with a very strong work ethic and raised that, you know, as the husband, you're the provider of the home. And so as I get ready to take this step of faith, I realized that one of the things that had to be kind of squashed inside of me was my pride, right? Allowing myself to allow my wife to be the breadwinner. And for some people, that can be a very daunting task. Now, I've kind of gotten used to it over the last few years, and I'm okay, right? I tell Kyla, I was like, if you want to go and get the higher paying job, you go. I can be a kept man. I have no problems with that. I will make sure that dinner's on the table every night, the laundry's done. I'd have no issues with that. But back then, it was a huge step of faith to think of even going to do that. And I mean, I remember showing up at Bible college and we have our first exam and I failed it. It's like, oh. And then I have the second exam and I failed it. And I think that for my entire degree, I probably passed one exam. One exam in that entire time. And there were many times where I actually wanted to quit. But I persevered. I wrote really good papers. And I just continued to do what God was asking me to do. And in the end, I graduated. And when they told me, it flashed upon the screen, says Chad Verge graduating with honors. It's like, how did that happen? I passed one exam in an entire bachelor's degree. But that was the perseverance of God, right? And there's times where I just wanted to quit. And Kyla would come along and she'd just speak something into my life. And she would say something keep pushing me on. And man, I don't know if you've ever had this, but sometimes the voice of your wife and the voice of God, they start to sound alike, right? Not saying that it is the voice of God, but sometimes God does use our wives to speak into our lives because, you know, it's that physical slap upside the head sometimes that we need. But with any dream, there's going to be days where we just don't feel like we're making any progress. There are times where we just want to sit back and say, God, are you sure? Really, God? Is this what you're calling me to do? But the one thing that I've learned is to make sure that I don't jump ahead of God's timing. His timing is perfect. There are times where I want to come out of the gate and I want to come out fast. But I've realized that if I do that, I run out of steam way too quickly. Had I not persevered in Bible college, I would not be where God has called me today. Right? I had to continue to trust in Him. I had to follow His plan and persevere despite any obstacle that may come our way. Have you ever been doing something and suddenly the enemy comes and he starts attacking? And in those moments, we have a choice that we are to make. Sometimes we want to quit. It's like, oh, that stupid enemy coming against me. And then we want to just bow under the pressure. And I've said this before, and it bears repeating, that we have to remember that when we have those moments, when the enemy is coming at us, we need to treat that as a compliment. Because if we weren't doing what God was calling us to do, the enemy would not have to worry, right? If you're not doing what God is calling you to do, why would the enemy bother you? It's almost like, well, I've already got that person. I need to go and work on this person. So when we feel like we're under an attack or we feel like the weight of the world or the weight of the enemy is coming at us, that's the time where we stand up and we realize, okay, God, I'm obviously doing what you're calling me to do because otherwise things would be really, really easy. When things get tough in our lives, do we continue to listen to the voice of Holy Spirit or do we listen to the voice of man that says, just, you know what, just quit. Just stop. You've been trying this for too long now. Just stop. When we're committed to the dream that God has called us to, we are able to persevere and we're able to do more than what we actually think we are able to do. Watch this clip. The question I want to put forth to you, who's next? Do you believe you have what it takes? Sometimes that's the exact answer when we say, do we have what it takes? No, No. But God knows what he has put inside of you, and he knows what he's calling you to. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me. We read it last week. We're going to read it again. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 12. The title of my sermon is Perseverance. Where's the proof? On your mark, get set. Starting to read at verse 2, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Father, this morning, each of us have been called to persevere. And we are persevering towards that crown of life. We long for the day when we will hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Here is your reward." Father, we long for that day. And as long as we are here on this earth, we persevere towards what it is that you are calling us to. So God, I pray that you would continue to remind our hearts of the work that you are doing in us. And if any of us this morning are feeling weak or feeling cast down, God, that we would continue to put our hope and our faith and our trust in you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. I know that we've had a very full service this morning, and I'm asking that you would continue to persevere with me. We just for a few more moments as we look at what it is that perseverance will do. The first thing that we know is that perseverance will prove your commitment. Just like the individual who has a dream of one day being an Olympian, in order for that dream to come to pass, they must persevere in their training. They don't just jump out of bed one morning and say, I'm going to be an Olympian. And then the next day, they're on the plane going to Tokyo to compete in the Olympics. Being committed to persevere no matter what obstacle comes our way proves our commitment. It's so easy to get caught in that old trap of when the going gets tough, what happens to the tough? They get going. Your perseverance will cause you to keep pressing on even when you don't know what's going to come. There are times where God will call upon us. And we'll call upon us to do something, but in that moment, it seems so difficult, and we want to throw in the towel, but you want to prove your commitment. Doing what God is calling us to do requires a lot of strength, and it's a strength that only God can provide. The world will teach you to call upon that inner strength. Find that zen. Center yourself. The only person that I want at the center of my life is Christ. He's the one where my strength comes from. And just like that individual where he's crawling across, he's saying, it's heavy. It hurts. I can't do this. God is there on the ground and he's saying, keep on going. Keep on going. I wish that I could say that I don't resemble that guy when I'm teaching a spin class. But I do come alongside, and I actually had to go to one guy last week, and I said, I'm really sorry. I know that I push you really hard, and I said, today I'm going to back off. And I noticed in the class, and I even said to him, I said, I'm not pushing you today, and I'm even watching your endurance, and you're not pushing yourself like you normally would. So about 15 minutes before the class was done, I gave up, and I went over, and I started pushing, and he gave it his all. And I'm there, it's like, come on, Chris, you can do this. You could, and I'm changing his gears. He's like, it's hard. I said, I know, but you could do this. But we want to see that change. We do what it takes to do because we know that God has put it there. What gift is inside of you that you are afraid to bring forth because you think of the work that's involved? You think to yourself, it's going to be heavy. But as we persevere doing what God is calling us to do, it proves our commitment. If you're going to commit to something, be all there. Our society has made it way too easy for us to simply walk away from our commitments. People every day walk away from careers. People walk away from their wives, their husbands. People walk away from their children. It's just way too easy. But the question is, are we committed to Christ? When he allows you to be tested, are you going to jump ship or are you going to stay on board and keep pressing forward, knowing that God has your back? The second thing that perseverance will do is that it will prove your courage. There will be times when you're pressing on towards the dream that God is calling you to, and you're going to face opposition. How will you stand underneath that opposition? In Nehemiah 4, verses 1 to 5, there was mockery that was coming from Sanballat when he heard they were rebuilding the wall. And it says this, now when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding or they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged. And he jeered at the Jews, and he said in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that? Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, yes. What are they building? If a fox goes up on it, it will break down. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. So what does Nehemiah do? So we built the wall, and the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. The taunting, all of this did not cause Nehemiah to back down. When people begin to mock you, do you back down or is that reason to keep persevering? We often hear about the ridicule that a person will face when they're in prison. And I think of Paul and Silas. They were in prison for their faith. And what did they do while they were still in prison? They sang. They sang. They worshiped. They gave praise. Too often when the mockery comes, we just want to cower underneath. But do we have the boldness that it takes to stand up in courage? Perseverance knows the road that we are going and it knows that it's going to be difficult, but it continues to keep on going. It's going to get tough, but you choose to keep going. The individual who's been delivered from an addiction, say, alcoholism, drug addiction, sexual addiction, whatever the case may be, there's going to be days where it's going to be tough, but they persevere knowing what it is that God has called them to. We persevere knowing what God has called us to. I used to, each summer, do this annual camp out with our men's group. And we would go to Coconusa Lake. It's here in BC. And each summer we would go down, and it was a weekend of wake surfing, wakeboarding, water skiing, cliff jumping, and lots and lots and lots of protein. There was very little vegetables in that entire weekend. We just didn't have time for vegetables. That just consumes unwanted space in our stomachs. And we knew what we had to do. And so anyway, there was this cliff that we would go, and we would jump off of it. And I remember saying, okay, I'm going to go. And when you're in the boat and you're looking up at the cliff, it just doesn't seem to be that high. And I remember getting out, and we all make our way up, and we're climbing up the hill. And I'm sitting there at the top on the peak and looking down. And I have a wetsuit on, and I've got a life jacket on, and I could literally feel my heart beating through both layers. It's like, what have I done? And you struggle to breathe. And you want to do this. And the guys are like, come on, just jump. Don't think about it, just jump. And in that moment, I'm thinking, well, maybe I should just climb back down the hill. But if you've ever tried to do that, you know that climbing back down a hill is a lot harder than climbing up because you don't see the footholds behind you. So anyway, I'm up there, and I'm standing up there. And then this one buddy of mine, Chris, he decides that he's going to start talking about the philosophy of fear. Within 2 seconds, I was off that cliff, and I jumped into the water. So if you ever struggle with something, I can call up my buddy Chris, and he can start talking to you about the philosophy of fear. Trust me, you'll jump off in a matter of seconds. But when God calls us to take those next steps, sometimes it's that fear that creeps in, and we just don't want to do it. We arrive at that mountaintop, and we know that there's still more steps, and fear cripples us. The third thing that fear or that perseverance will do is it will prove your character. I did a little bit of research, and I talked to some friends, and I asked, what are some characteristics that you look for in friendships? What do you think was the number one thing that most everybody came, like that was the common thread amongst everybody that they were looking for in a friendship? No? That wasn't the number one? No? What was that? Exactly. Laughter. Humorous. First and foremost, they wanted to be able to hang out with people that they could have fun with. Now, all of the other qualities that you listed, all were a part of that, but the common thread with every single person that came back, every single person said laughter. But it also came back with honesty, trustworthy, vulnerability. I had one person say, can I cry around this person? Non-judgmental, supportive, low maintenance, caring, reliable, respectful. The list went on. It's interesting that we all look for the same characteristics in our friends. And then I started thinking about my own characteristics and asking myself, would people find me funny? Do they find me to be honest, trustworthy, non-judgmental, vulnerable, low maintenance? Are these qualities that I possess? And then I started thinking about the characteristics of God. And his characteristics are, he's loving, he's holy, he's all-knowing, he has wisdom, he's changeless, he's righteous. Are any of our characteristics like God's? And if you say yes to that, the next question is, have you allowed them to be tested? You know, and I've said this before, we can walk around and say that we're the kindest individual. Oh man, I am the most loyal friend. We can claim these things, but it's until somebody else speaks it out and says, man, that individual, they are so kind. They're so loving. They're so gentle. Have we allowed these characteristics to be tested? Perseverance is very important in our friendships because it helps prove what type of a friend we are. When you have a friend that's going through a tough time, are you the type of individual that's going to stick with them and keep walking with them? Or does it become, oh man, that was just a little bit too much. You got a little bit too vulnerable with me. I can't handle that. On my own admission, I will tell you, and I've had this said to me many times, and I don't apologize for it. It's like, man, you're so deep. You go so deep. Yeah, I do. When I have friendship, when I have a relationship, I invest in that relationship. I don't have time for surface. But not everybody likes that, right? Not everybody likes to get deep. Some people just want to keep things, let's just keep it right here. Let's not go beneath the surface. Nobody wants to be like Shrek. Nobody wants to have those onion layers peeled back. We just want to keep everything just, let me just keep everything bottled up inside. But I want a friend that when the going gets tough, they don't get going. We're all in training. The Olympian, training for the Olympics, is always in training. They don't ever stop. As Christians, we're always in training. We are all pressing on towards the goal, the prize that God has called us to. Paul says in Philippians 3:13, he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. When the Olympian is in training and he's running down that track, he's not constantly looking over his shoulder. He might take a quick glance to see how far he's gone or what's going on behind him, but he keeps persevering, knowing where it is that he's supposed to go. As he's training, he takes note of how fast or how well he did in the practice run. Then he presses on to do better the next time. When you are in that get-set position, it's important to allow your minds to remember the training. Remember that time that God brought you through this? Well, we just learned that God is an unchanging God. That same God that brought you through that, we can have the confidence of knowing that he will see you through that next obstacle. He's going to give you the strength to overcome. So we don't, oh God, why is it so hard? I can't do this. God, you were there with me the last time, and I know you'll be with me today. So thinking back over the characteristics of a friend, I don't believe that any of us want to be described as being a dishonest individual, somebody who puts others down, a whiner, disloyal, outcast. But today, people are always looking for acceptance. In order to be accepted in our society, we feel like we have to accept every single thing that comes our way. But the thing is that we need to still continue to hold on to what God is saying. The world says one thing, but God says this. Do you persevere in your friendships? What does your character say about you? Are you dependable? Are you loyal? Are you confident? Take that a step further. Where are you in your relationship with God? Are you at that point where it's just like, I'm so tired of fighting? God, I'm just so tired of fighting. I just can't do this anymore. And perhaps you might have even come here this morning and you're thinking, you know what? It's Sunday morning. My spouse is saying I need to go to church, but God, I just don't want to go. I've asked you so many times to do this, and you still are not answering my prayer. But you came anyway, because it's Sunday morning and it's the thing to do. Well, I believe you came because God had a divine appointment for you. And he wants to tell you, it's time to stop doing it your way and start doing it my way. Are you ready to do it the way that I've asked you to do it? We have our own plans. But Scripture tells us whose plans are the plans that will succeed? God's. So if you're trying to do it in your own strength, it's not going to work. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. So what does that mean? Can I renew my strength? Can I go down to Comox Rec Center and lift iron all afternoon and trying to build my strength? Is that going to get me anywhere? What builds the strength? Waiting on God, knowing that God is calling. When we take out I or me and we put God in there, it changes everything. When we attempt to persevere with ourselves at the forefront, we get tired. You can see this road that's ahead of you. And you start walking the trail, and you may not fully know where it is that you're going, but you keep on walking. And perhaps you even go out of sight of others. You may not know where you're going, but God does. The question is, will you continue to persevere even though you don't know what the next step looks like? My encouragement to you this morning is persevere, knowing that God is leading you. Father, we thank you. And I believe that every single one of us, and I know this for a fact, because you have called every single one of us to run with endurance. And for every person here this morning, there is something in their life that they are persevering towards. And I pray that if they are attempting to do it on their own strength, in their own way, I pray that they would set that down and they would focus on what it is that you are calling them to do. That they would remove the me, the I, from the situation. And they'd say, God, where are you leading? God, what are you asking? God, lead me. I don't really know where it is that we're going, but I know that you're holding my hand. And when you're holding my hand, I can go a lot further than I can go on my own. God, I know that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So, Father, I pray for strength for each person that's here this morning, that they would run the race with endurance and that they would persevere, knowing what it is that you're calling them to do. And I know that you will give them every single gift, every single thing that they need to do the task, to do the work, to do whatever it is that you're calling them to do. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.